You're listening to The Philosopher's Note on the Bhagavad Gita. More wisdom in less time.
Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to The Philosopher's Notes on the Bhagavad Gita, Classics of Indian Spirituality, translated and edited by Eknath Eswaran. We'll start with a quote from Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita. Quote, "Be fearless and pure. Never waver in your determination or your dedication to the spiritual life. Give freely, be self-controlled, sincere, truthful, loving, and full of the desire to serve. Learn to be detached and to take joy in renunciation. Do not get angry or harm any living creature, but be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. Cultivate vigor, patience, will, purity. Avoid malice and pride. Then you will achieve your destiny." End quote. So the Bhagavad Gita is incredible. It's a principal book of Hinduism, an inspiration to Gandhi, and an overall must-read for any big thinking seeker, if you haven't read it yet. I highly recommend you add it to your list. And I personally love Eknath Eswaran's translation and commentary. He's an incredible guy who walked with Gandhi, and just brings a warmth and a radiance to his translations of both the Bhagavad Gita and the Dhammapada and the Upanishads, if you're so interested in checking all of those out. And of course, I have that information in the Philosopher's Notes printed version. So in this recording, we're barely going to scratch the surface of the depth of the Gita. And as always, we'll focus on the big ideas that we can immediately grasp and, most importantly, apply to our lives. But first, let's have a quick context. The Bhagavad Gita is believed to have been written between the 5th and 2nd centuries BCE, and its 700 verses are part of the longer Mahabharata. The content of the Gita itself consists of a conversation between Krishna, the supreme manifestation of the Lord himself, and the warrior prince Arjuna. Krishna is advising Arjuna as he hesitates in moral confusion over the challenge of going to war with his own family. Viewed allegorically, the war represents the perennial struggle between good and evil within each of us, and Krishna's wisdom points the way to following the yogic path of living in harmony with universal laws as we strive to live our highest truths. So the first big idea is live your dharma. Quote, "It is better to strive in one's own dharma than to succeed in the dharma of another. Nothing is ever lost in following one's dharma, but competition in another's dharma breeds fear and insecurity." End quote. Dharma, it comes from the Sanskrit dhri, which means to support, hold up, or bear. The word means many things, but according to Eknath Eswaran, dharma implies support from within, the essence of a thing, its virtue, that which makes it what it is. On a larger scale, dharma means, quote, "the essential order of things, an integrity and harmony in the universe, and the affairs of life that cannot be disturbed without courting chaos." Thus, it means rightness, justice, goodness, purpose, rather than chance. End quote. There's also a highly personal application of dharma. In essence, we all have our own dharma, or purpose and reason for being alive. As Krishna states in the Gita, following someone else's dharma is dangerous. If you live your life trying to impress others and not fulfilling what you're here to do, you'll feel the pain. So how about you? Are you living your dharma, or struggling to fulfill someone else's ideas about who you should be and what you should do? In his great book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, you can see the notes on that, Deepak Chopra dedicates a chapter to his seventh law, the law of dharma. In that chapter, he has a bunch of great questions to help us discover and live our dharma. One of my favorites that totally transformed my life is, if you had all the money and all the time in the world, what would you do? I'll repeat that. If you had all the money and all the time in the world, what would you do? Now is a good time to press pause and think about this. Or if you have a journal, press pause and write it down. It's powerful stuff. we always come back to these exercises. Are you doing them or just kind of going on to the next idea? Think about these things and then act consistently with them. Little by little, as we do these exercises, we transform ourselves. All right, the next big idea is fire and smoke. Quote, it is better to perform one's own duties imperfectly than to master the duties of another. By fulfilling the obligations he is born with, a person never comes to grief. No one should abandon duties because he sees defects in them. Every action, every activity is surrounded by defects, as a fire is surrounded by smoke. End quote. That's awesome. So we've established the importance of following your dharma and not someone else's. Sweet. Now, what about if you're not perfectly following your path? Well, that's a good time to check in with the Gita and remember, no one should abandon duties because he sees defects in them. Every action, every activity is surrounded by defects as a fire is surrounded by smoke. And how about Abraham Maslow, who studied the greatest people of his generation, from Einstein to Eleanor Roosevelt, as he identified the hallmarks of what he called self-actualizing individuals. You can see the notes on that. It's one of my favorite ones on motivation and personality. So Maslow taught us, quote, there are no perfect human beings. Persons can be found who are good, very good indeed, in fact, great. There do in fact exist creators, seers, sages, saints, shakers, and movers, even if they are uncommon and do not come by the dozen. And yet these very same people can at times be boring, irritating, petulant, selfish, angry, or depressed. To avoid disillusionment with human nature, we must first give up our illusions about it. End quote. And Rumi advises, quote, there is no worse sickness for the soul, O you who are proud, than this pretense of perfection. So the moment we allow ourselves to be less than perfect, we open ourselves up to the opportunity to grow. I say, here's to many of those moments. All right, the next big idea is seeing truly. Quote, he alone sees truly, who sees the Lord the same in every creature. Seeing the same Lord everywhere, he does not harm himself or others. End quote. So the end result of following Krishna's wisdom and living the yogic truths is simple. We see the Lord the same in every creature. We experience the beauty and the power of seeing the interconnectedness of our existence and do no harm to ourselves or others. Reminds me of Abraham Maslow's wisdom. He said, self-actualizing people have a deep feeling of identification, sympathy, and affection for human beings in general. They feel kinship and connection, as if all people were members of a single family. And how about Einstein's statement? He says, a human being is part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. He experiences himself, his thoughts, and feelings as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of his consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison. End quote. Amazing. What about Donne's poem, For Whom the Bell Tolls? He says, no man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less. As well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thy own were, any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Amazing. We're all one. Let's see truly, which would be seeing the Lord the same in every creature. Imagine that. How do you go through your day-to-day seeing the Lord the same in every creature? See God in everyone. Walt Whitman said, in the faces of men and women, I see God. How about you? What do you see when you look into the face of your boss or your colleague or someone serving you at a restaurant or the grocery store? I say, and Krishna would say, start seeing God. The next big idea is the power of our will. Quote, reshape yourself through the power of your will. Those who have conquered themselves live in peace, alike in cold and heat, pleasure and pain, praise and blame. To such people, a clod of dirt, a stone, and gold are the same. Because they are impartial, they rise to great heights. End quote. So self-mastery, it's another theme echoed again and again throughout these notes. The Buddha says, one who conquers himself is greater than another who conquers 1,000 times 1,000 men on the battlefield. Jesus says, he who rules his spirit has won a greater victory than the taking of a city. Rumi says, the lion who breaks the enemy's ranks is a minor hero compared to the lion who overcomes himself. So how's your self-mastery? Are you reshaping yourself through the power of your will? Perhaps the quickest, simplest, most powerful way to begin reshaping yourself, starting now, is to ask yourself these two questions. One, what's one thing your highest self would like to be doing that you're not currently doing? So press pause and think about that for a second. What's one thing you know you should be doing that you're not currently doing? Think about that. What is it? And number two, how about something that you are doing that you need to stop doing? A bad habit that no longer needs to be part of your life. So let's get to that, the power of our will. Let's diligently, patiently, and persistently reshape ourselves through the power of our will. Make it fun. Doesn't need to be hard. All right, the next big idea is two paths. Quote, be fearless and pure. Never waver in your determination or your dedication to the spiritual life. Give freely. Be self-controlled, sincere, truthful, loving, and full of the desire to serve. Learn to be detached and to take joy in renunciation. Do not get angry or harm any living creature, but be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. Cultivate vigor, patience, will, purity. Avoid malice and pride. Then you will achieve your destiny. So that's from a chapter called Two Paths. The description of the other path, that's the good path, obviously. How about the other path? Krishna says, quote, the demonic do things they should avoid and avoid the things they should do. Hypocritical, proud, and arrogant, living in delusion and clinging to their deluded ideas, insatiable in their desires, they pursue unclean ends. Bound on all sides by scheming and anxiety, driven by anger and greed, they amass by any means they can a hoard of money for the satisfaction of their cravings. Self-important, obstinate, swept away by the pride of wealth, they ostentatiously perform sacrifices without any regard for their purpose. Egotistical, violent, arrogant, lustful, angry, envious of everyone, they abuse my presence within their own bodies and in the bodies of others. 2,500 years ago, that wisdom is shared with us. So those are the two paths. Which one are you choosing? How do you choose the more righteous one more and more and more consistently? Through, of course, the power of your will. All right, the next big idea is results and non-attachment. Quote, the awakened sages call a person wise when all his undertakings are free from anxiety about results. So, you ever notice that your stress comes from clinging to your idea of what should happen and when it should happen? Me too. I've become an expert at that. Moving through it, of course, but yes, we've all mastered that at one phase of our lives or another. So, Russell Simmons, the vegan yogi hip-hop mogul, brings the point home brilliantly in his great book, Do You. You can see the notes on it, one of my favorites. He says, quote, I know some people say, keep your eyes on the prize, but I disagree. When your eyes are stuck on the prize, you're going to keep stumbling and crashing into things. If you really want to get ahead, you've got to keep your eyes focused on the path. So the next time you're stressed, this is me now, take a peek and see if it's because you're way too worried about the results. Then take a deep breath in, in an exhale, and do that one more time. Breathe in and breathe out. And then get back to doing your best and follow the wisdom of the Gita. Quote, abandon all attachment to the results of action and attain supreme peace. The next big idea is called the temperance of a yogi. Quote, those who eat too much or eat too little, who sleep too much or sleep too little, will not succeed in meditation. But those who are temperate in eating and sleeping, work and recreation, will come to the end of sorrow through meditation. So the Buddha calls it the middle way, and Aristotle calls it the virtuous mean. Whatever you call it, pay attention and ask yourself these questions. What am I doing too much of? And what am I doing too little of? Then reshape yourself through the power of your will. And live with the temperance of a yogi. All right, the next big idea is meditate. Quote, when meditation is mastered, the mind is unwavering, like the flame of a lamp in a windless place. End quote. So how's your mind? Is it still? Is it under control? Can you point your attention where you wish, or do you find your mind swinging from one thought to the next like a drunken monkey going from vine to vine? Controlling our minds is an essential component to living our greatest lives and creating a life of beauty, service, and balanced bliss. And meditation is perhaps the most powerful tool to aid us in the process of achieving mastery of our thoughts. So if you don't have a meditation practice and you've been meaning to develop one, what are you waiting for? Now is a good time to get going. Take the next step. Sign up for a class, download a guided meditation, sit in stillness right now. Plan your meditation for tomorrow morning. Whatever it is, go for it. And if you're meditating, how's your practice? How can you take it to the next level? As Krishna says, strive to still your thoughts. Make your mind one-pointed in meditation. Next big idea is, how is your faith? Quote, when a person is devoted to something with complete faith, I unify his faith in that. Then, when his faith is completely unified, he gains the object of his devotion. End quote. So how is your faith? When your faith reaches a level of knowing, of total expectation, magical things happen. Thoreau tells us, if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with success unexpected in common hours. He will put some things behind, will pass an invisible boundary. New, universal, and more liberal laws will begin to establish themselves around and within him. Or old laws will be expanded and interpreted in his favor in a more liberal sense. And he will live with license of a higher order of beings. Amazing. And how about Eric Butterworth? He tells us this in his great book, Spiritual Economics. You can see the notes on that. He says, faith is expectancy. You do not receive what you want. You do not receive what you pray for. Not even what you say you have faith in. You will always receive what you actually expect. End quote. So, how's your faith? Are you wavering in your intentions and desires? Or are you devoted with complete faith to the object of your desire? Know that, as Krishna says, quote, when a person is devoted to something with complete faith, I unify his faith in that. Then, when his faith is completely unified, he gains the object of his devotion. End quote. The next big idea is, there is no failure. Quote, on this path, effort never goes to waste, and there is no failure. Even a little effort towards spiritual awareness will protect you from the greatest fear. End quote. I love that. So are you feeling disillusioned? Know that on this path, effort never goes to waste. In times of pain, remember Rumi's beautiful poem. He says, quote, no mirror ever became iron again. No bread ever became wheat. No ripened grape ever became sour fruit. Mature yourself and be secure from a change for the worse. Become the light. Beautiful. Love, Rumi. So take the next step As you reshape yourself with the power of your will and joy in your heart, assured that your effort is never wasted. And the final big idea is selfless service. Quote, strive constantly to serve the welfare of the world. By devotion to selfless work, one attains the supreme goal of life. Do your work with the welfare of others always in mind. End quote. Beautiful. Reminds me of Marcus Aurelius, the 2nd century Stoic philosopher and emperor. He said, let your one delight and refreshment be to pass from one service to the community to another, with God ever in mind. It also reminds me of Martin Seligman, the author of Authentic Happiness and the leader of the positive psychology movement, who tells us that if we want a scientifically measurable, meaningful life, we need to use our strengths in service to something bigger than ourselves. So I ask you, how can you work with the welfare of others always in mind while you fully give your greatest gifts in the greatest service to the world? That is a very quick look at the big ideas, or some of my favorite big ideas anyway, from the Bhagavad Gita. If you liked this note, you'll almost certainly like the philosopher's notes on the Dhammapada, as well as on spiritual economics, and Russell Simmons' Do You, a really fun book I think you'll love, the note on and the book. Let's look at a couple of quotes from, or several quotes from, the sidebar of the note, and then we'll wrap it up. Krishna says, quote, the ignorant work for their own profit. The wise work for the welfare of the world, without thought for themselves. Perform all work carefully, guided by compassion. And I continue to act, but I am not driven by any need of my own. Giving simply because it is right to give, without thought of return, at a proper time, in proper circumstances, and to a worthy person, is sattvic giving. Calmness, gentleness, silence, self-restraint, and purity, these are the disciplines of the mind. One person in many thousands may seek perfection, yet of these, only a few reach the goal and come to realize me. Relying on internal discipline, meditate on me always. And finally, by devotion to one's own particular duty, everyone can attain perfection. Back to Dharma again, huh? All right, well, there you go. I hope that you enjoyed some of the big ideas and thoughts from the Bhagavad Gita. I really enjoyed sharing them with you, as always, and I look forward to sharing more. Trust you're doing great, and have an awesome day. See ya.
We hope you enjoyed this Philosopher's Note. Please go to www.philosophersnotes.com to download more.